Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 226, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord of hosts, to thee I cry. Our Father's God, to thee. Let my petition reach thy ear, my prayer accepted be. O God, our shield, look thou on us. Reveal thyself in grace, and let thy own anointed one behold thee face to face. All the stanzas of Psalter 226.
Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Galatians, and there of chapter 3, the first 14 verses. But first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Galatians 3, the first 14 verses. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doth he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer Miss Maita Deputer, who had surgery in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, that we may gather together in this morning in thy house of prayer once again. One week closer to that time and that we will stand before thee. Another week passed upon our journey as we travel to a great and to a never-ending eternity. And so our life that is quickly going by us, as thou dost declare to us in thy word. But then we must confess before thee how little thought and that we have thereof, as we walk upon our journey here below. It is all in thy sight. Thou hast begun it for us, and thou wilt bring each of us to the end of that journey, and none of us knowing what day that thou hast set aside, that we shall pass out of this life. None of us knowing how long yet, and that thou wilt still give us in this time of grace, in this day of opportunity. Then it may be, and that in this morning there are those and that have come to thy house, and whose heart may so agree as we have sung together. A single day within thy courts, where I thy beauty see, is better far than 1,000 days, and my God, apart from thee. O Lord, thou knowest then their desire in this morning hour. Where comes it from but thee? Because what man does desire thee in his heart, in the way that we have been born? Lord, sayest thou not that thou wilt finish the work that thou hast begun? Dost thou then plant a desire where that thou wilt not in thy time fulfill it? Oh, that thou may remember such then in this morning hour, when they have come up with a longing heart, that there may be in the worship of thee and of thy house and of thy people in this day a blessing and that is prepared for their soul. O Lord, that thou thyself and may fulfill what thou hast done, and that thou may show thyself in this day also unto those whom thou hast chosen. But that then it can also be that we have come up in this morning with a desire to satisfy our conscience, knowing that we ought to come up unto God's house, and having in our conscience that knowledge of right and of wrong, and that we may go from this place different than that we have come in. And may it be, and not only with a knowledge in our mind, of our duty before thee, But may it be with a heart that is broken and contrite. Lord, Thou art a surprising God. Oh, that Thou may show Thyself as such also in this morning hour. May it be to young and old together. But can we know of Thy work except that Thou wouldst give us to experience it, O Lord, in our hearts, and that Thou may so look upon each and every one of us, and that we may be given even a prayer, a cry, a sigh, in an outward way, and that Thou wouldst do for us what we are not able to do for ourselves. And give us to know our wretchedness. Give us to know our misery. That we may feel, that we may experience that we are dead in trespasses and in sins. Lord, give us to abhor ourselves in dust and in ashes before Thee, that it may be in a true way, and that it may be feelingly, and that it may be believingly in our hearts all together, that we may know the first principles of those things that we need to know upon our journey traveling to Thy great judgment seat, and that Thou may also bring further upon that way to open something unto those for whom there is no way, and that they may be given to hear that Thou dost say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, that Thou wouldst draw then unto Thyself that Savior, that Mediator, who has given Himself even unto death. Oh, that Thou may exalt Thyself in the life of Thy children, for the first time or by renewal. Oh, do we not wait, Lord, upon Thee in this morning hour to grant us that undeserved blessing that we so cannot miss upon our journey? Do remember those who in this morning do say, Lord, send forth Thy light and Thy truth, and let them lead me unto Thy holy hill and to Thy tabernacles. Oh, remember them when they do experience darkness. Remember them when they experience the hiding of Thy face, that they cannot see any more the truth of the matter, whether it is Thy work or whether it is their own work. Lord, then they also need that Thou wouldst appear again, and that Thou wouldst come, and that Thou wouldst own it to be Thy own, and Thou wouldst say unto them that I am Thy God. Oh, that Thou may so deliver Thy church wherein there are so many riddles, so many questions as they travel upon that journey. For it is as we have heard out of Thy holy word, that the just shall live by faith. But then there can be so many questions, whether that is a true faith, and whether it is a historical faith only, and whether it is a temporary faith. O Lord, that Thou Thyself may open the eyes, and that Thou may bless Thy own word and the instructions that we may receive therefrom. Could it please Thee so to open Thy word in this morning hour for such a purpose that we, as Lord, Thou hast sent us, and that Thou dost give us what is necessary also in this morning to stand and to go before our flock. And then we may acknowledge Thee. But Lord, wilt Thou also open Thy word, and that it may that Thy truth may be brought forth, that we may be given to speak things new and old out of Thy law, and that it may receive the testimony in the hearts of thy people to be not the word of man, but that it may be the word of God. Remember those that are not able to gather in thy house, and then it can be that they also have a desire, but thou dost hinder in the way of thy providence. Remember her that has received surgery in the week that is gone by. Lord, then we have besought thee for her, and thou hast indeed helped her through, and thou hast thus far made all things so well, and that thou may heal her now in her body, and bless the treatments that she must receive yet in the future. And could it please thee to extend thereby her life here below? But could it please thee also to bless this way for her soul? Oh, that thou wouldst sanctify this affliction, and that it may be to her eternal welfare. Oh, give her also a blessing in the place where she is in this day, along with others who are weak, who are sick, who are afflicted. Our brother, the student, Lord, thou knowest, also his place. He is not able to go forth at this time anymore. Oh, he is weak in his body. He has received also treatments by the doctors. Lord, thou art the heavenly physician, and we may still beseech it of thee, if it could please thee yet to bless the means for his recovery, and that he may be returned again to the labors which his heart so desires, and that are so necessary also for us as a denomination. For the harvest, O Lord, is so great, and the laborers are so few. And then it seems that thou dost do against thy own work, and thou takest away a laborer among us. O Lord, if it could please thee, and that thou may yet return, and that thou may yet restore him. But if not, O Lord, and that thou wouldst prepare him to meet thee and to stand before thee. Oh, bless him also this day in the place where he is in his own home. Give freedom from the pain. Give a little ease in the body. Give a little token from above. Remember all the afflicted, the many children that we hear that are sick, that thou wouldst heal them also, and give them also in their sickness to understand the soul's sickness, and that they may learn to cry after that great physician. Be with those that mourn, the widows, the widower, and all those that have needs wherein thou alone art able to help. Look upon us this morning. Be on our right and on our left, and on the right and on the left of all thy truly sent servants, and the students that continue to go forth this day. Oh, that thou thyself may give opening liberty, and that thy word may receive free course, and that there may be hunger and thirst, and that there may be a drinking up of the truths of thy word to the comfort of the souls, to the regeneration of dead hearts, to the honor and to the glory of thy holy name. Help us then, O Lord. Be thou with us then in this morning hour, that we may experience thy nearness, thy presence, thy favor, thy communion, undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And while your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 355, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. All who with heart confiding depend on God alone, like Zion's mount abiding, it shall ne'er be overthrown. The last collection today is for the Emeritus Fund, Psalter 355, all the stanzas.
Thank you.
congregation, we ask your attention in this morning hour for the Lord's Day 23. The last question, question number 61. Lord's Day 23, question number 61. Why sayest thou that thou art righteous by faith only? Answer, not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, but because only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God, and that I cannot receive and apply the same to myself any other way than by faith only. So far, our Lord's Day, which speaks about faith's role in justification. And we wish to consider this in two thoughts according to the way our fathers have given this answer. First, they say, what this role is not. Not, they say, in that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith. What this role is not. Second, then they explain what that this role is. Thus, faith's role in justification, first, what this role is not. And second, what this role is. Why sayest thou that thou art righteous by faith only? Where does that question come from? Well, that comes from the previous question, actually, from the previous answer. Because we heard that, how art thou righteous before God? Only, we have heard, by a true faith in Jesus Christ. And so our instructors, they now say, why sayest thou this? Why dost thou say that thou art righteous by faith only? And thus our fathers create for themselves an opportunity. That is an opportunity to refute a very common error in the first place. And then in the second place, the opportunity to explain and to instruct what is the true relation between justification and faith. Not, they say, that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith. Thus, the common error that they do seek to expose and to upend and to correct. Whatever is it? Well, we know that they are writing against the Roman Catholic Church. And Ursinus, if you will read his catechism, then he explains how that the Roman Catholic Church, they did make faith itself to be of some kind of a merit, making a person, thus we heard about them making works into merit, but also and that they are making faith itself into some merit so that a man may be worthy, as we heard last week, of being declared righteous before God. That is, that he may be justified. But though our fathers have tried to diffuse this error, then we see that that error that continued also after the Reformation. Because if you read in the Canons of Dort, then we can see how that the Arminians, they have also taken up this error. where we read that they regard faith itself and the obedience of faith as the perfect obedience of the law and esteem it worthy of the reward of eternal life through grace. That was not the end, because in the latter part of the 17th century, then we can read how that Daniel Williams, he has taken up and refined the ideas of Richard Baxter into a doctrine called neo-nomianism, that is a new law, wherein they have made the gospel itself to become a new law, that together with the righteousness of Christ, also faith, the faith of God's children, and that is to be the ground of justification. Thus the neo-nomians, the new law persons, they had opposition, certainly, and they called their opposition the antinomians. They said, well, you are against the law. You say, how is that now possible? How did the neo-nomians defend their error? Because you say, boys and girls, that is not written in the Bible. Well, the neo-nomians, they also use the Bible. You say, how is that possible? Is that then written in the Bible? Yes, they say. Because Paul, he says, to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, Paul writes, is counted for righteousness. Richard Baxter, he has taught that Christ, he has merited easier terms for God's people. That is, that he has, as it were, lowered the bar to what God's people, they needed to reach. Thus, on account, he said, of the righteousness of Christ, our own righteousness, and what is that righteousness? That is the righteousness of faith, that is the righteousness of repentance. He says, that is now acceptable to God, even though it has imperfections in it, because now of the righteousness of Christ. Thus the righteousness of Christ that has now made salvation to be possible by man's own righteousness, because the righteousness of Christ that has made up for all the imperfections, all the shortness of the faith and the repentance of that true church. We have evidence in all this. What an enmity that there is living in the heart of man against free and sovereign grace. Man, he is an enemy of it. Man, he does not just surrender his own worthiness. No, God's children, they need to be stripped of their unworthiness. It needs to be ripped away from them in order that Christ, he may become as a full Savior precious to them. This neo-nomian error, that is an error that is lying so close and is actually so precious to the heart of the religious man. Why? Because the religious man then, He does not need to die. Jeremiah, he says that the heart is deceitful above all things, that it is desperately wicked. Who can know it? With a seeming humility, then man, he is ready to receive, he is ready to admit into his life a helping Savior. If only he doesn't have to confess his utter depravity. As long as he doesn't have to confess the actual depth of the fall, how deeply that we have fallen. As long as he does not have to confess that he is dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. Our honor that lays so close to our heart. We will not forfeit our honor. We will not forfeit our honor for God's sake. We will not forfeit our honor for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that is something we hold on to. It is living, it is lying, it is dwelling, it is flourishing, it is growing within our nature, within our heart. Christ, he says, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Why? Well, because Isaiah, he says, there is no beauty in him that we may desire him. Thus, Christ, he may be set forth in all his beauty. He may be set forth in all his preciousness. But that unhumbled heart that resents it. And why does it resent it? It resents it because it is in competition. Because Christ, he will get the honor. But I want that honor for myself. There is nothing in Christ that is appealing to the natural heart. That is why Christ, he says, that ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. The suitability of Christ that can only be experienced by a man who is lost in himself. Why? Because that is the way that Christ, he is declared in his word. That is the way that he is lifted up in his word. He is lifted up in his word as he that is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And thus it is only a man that has experienced his lost state, his lost condition, that is able to behold something of that blessed beauty of Christ as he is portrayed unto us, revealed unto us in his word. The Lord, he cannot get the honor from the natural man. We shouldn't say that. That is not true. Actually, is it? That he cannot get the honor from the natural man. He will get the honor from the natural man. But what is now the only way that Christ is going to get the honor from the natural man? That is in his condemnation. And then he will be glorified in his righteousness. He will be glorified in his justice. And then there will be many that are condemned with their religion. Many to be condemned with the name of Christ upon their lips. Why? Because they have confessed a half-savior. But he is no half-savior. But they had no need of him as a full-savior. And that is now the error that our fathers, they are seeking to warn against here in our Lord's day, not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith. See, that was an error for back then. No, we have here a warning also for today, because that error that is an error that lives also today. It lives in the heart of men, and it thrives also in the midst of the outward, the external church. But you say, how then can you explain that, what Paul says? That his faith is counted for righteousness. When I read that also, children, the Lord Jesus, that he says, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. So are they not correct then, the Neo-Nomians? Is it not then the faith of God's children that does actually save them? It is not. That is nothing more than the common manner of speaking that was in those days, and it is also in our day, wherein the object that is received, that is called by the name of the instrument that has received it. You say, maybe, children, we are nourished by eating. Is that so? Is it now the eating that nourishes? Or what is it that nourishes? It is not the eating, that is the food. We all know that. But we still can say we are nourished by eating. Thus, we call the object that is received by the name of the instrument that is receiving it. And so the Lord, he says, go in peace. Thy faith hath saved thee. Or his faith that is counted for righteousness, that is the object that he has received by faith, that is the righteousness of Christ, that is now counted for their righteousness. Not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith. What is congregation more continually attacked than the true comfort of that church of God? Faith that is not only imperfect, but faith that is experienced to be imperfect. Faith that is experienced to be short. What did the disciples say to the Lord Jesus? They said, Lord, increase our faith. Do you know what that is, people of the Lord? We do not need to ask you. The Lord Jesus himself, he says, where is thy faith? To his own disciples, just as if he could not find anything of that faith. How many of God's children do not feel also the shame that they say, not only imperfect, but so often, where is that faith at all? Is then such an imperfect faith? Is then such almost, you say at times, a non-existent faith? Cannot be. But is this then even a part of the righteousness of that church of God before his throne? That is to undermine that blessed comfort of that true church of God. What is now the experience of that people? If they had to add their faith to it, if they had to add anything to it, then it certainly is going to come up short. They do not need a half-savior, and neither is a half-savior proclaimed in that word of God. But the savior in the word of God is proclaimed not for that people who can still uphold themselves, but that Savior in the Word of God that is proclaimed for a people who have nothing left, in whom there is nothing, there was nothing, there shall be nothing ever from their own sight. That is now the hope. That is now the expectation. And the Lord Himself, He will not permit that the enemy is going to rob from the church that true remnant of the Lord, their only hope, their only expectation, and their only comfort, which is, as our instructors portray it, out of that holy word of God. But how now is that righteousness of Christ, the satisfaction of Christ, the holiness of Christ, how then is that now received by the people? We will sing first. 191, 1, 2, 5, and 6. Though troubles great o'ershadow me, Thou art my refuge strong. My mouth shall praise Thee all the day, Thy honor be my song. 1, 2, 5, and 6 of Psalter 191. Why sayest thou that thou art righteous by faith only? Answer, not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, but because only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God, and that I cannot receive and apply the same to myself any other way than by faith only. Thus our fathers, they also explain what faith's role is, not only what it is not, in making a soul righteous before God. Then the substance of that soul's righteousness, our fathers say, that is not their faith, but the substance of that soul's righteousness is the satisfaction, the righteousness, and the holiness of Christ. That is clear. We heard that last week. But, naturally, that satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, that also needs to become mine. That needs to be applied. Somehow, I also need to receive it. Thus, that is now the question. How can I receive it? Well, children, how do you receive other things? How do you receive instruction this morning? You have ears. You hear words. Then you receive instruction. Go to school. Your teacher, they will also show you some things. So that you have eyes and you receive sights by your eyes, you receive sounds by your ears, and so on. All the senses of your body, that is how you receive the things of the natural life. But now we ask, how can a man receive something that is spiritual? It is not natural. How can he receive righteousness? The satisfaction of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, the holiness of Christ. Can I receive that through his senses in a bodily way? No, he receives spiritual gifts of God by faith. That is the organ by which he receives it. If you have no eyes, you cannot see. If you have no ears, you cannot hear. And if you have no faith, then you cannot believe. Then you cannot believe. Our fathers, they speak about applying the satisfaction and righteousness and holiness of Christ to myself. It says, by faith. That is something that is very greatly misunderstood and also very greatly abused. Man, by nature, he is in the state of death. When he is in the state of death, then you may say you have to believe, but that is like saying to a dead man, he has to look and he has to hear. Thus, a man who is in the state of death has no ability to believe. While he lies in that state, every attempt which he will make to believe, that is actually nothing but presumption. Thus, what does it exactly mean? That true saving faith that must apply the satisfaction and the righteousness and the holiness of Christ to itself. Well, a baby, when that baby is born, that is immediately fed. And it immediately feeds. And is nourished by that feeding. Why? Because it is born with the ability to feed. But it is not born with the ability to reason about his feeding. He is not able to reason about what he is doing. So it is with faith. We must distinguish two things in faith. The one is its appropriating act. That is, that when faith believes, it receives something. It appropriates something unto itself. That is the act of faith. But there is another act of faith. And that is called the reflexive act of faith, or it is close, children, to the word reflective. That means it is something that faith reflects on, that it looks upon itself, upon what it has done. So there is a faith. There is a faith which feeds. And it is nourished through that feeding. It is a faith which appropriates the object of faith, that is the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. And then there is another faith that looks back upon its former acts of appropriating faith. So it looks upon what it has done. It sees and understands that at this or at that time and moment in my life, then I know that I have believed. Reasonings, they belong to whom? Reasonings belong to those who are of a more mature age. It does not belong to a little baby. It does not have that ability to reason and to look back and to reflect. And that is also with this reflexive act of faith that does not belong to the infant. Neither is that reflexive act of faith belonging to the essence of faith. It is not belonging to that which makes faith into what it is. It is not, in that sense, the most important part of faith. But now that feeding of faith, that appropriating of faith, that now belongs unto that entire church of God. Even though they are not able to reason about what they are doing. Thus, when faith that appropriates, when faith receives Christ, then it is not reasoning about what it is doing. It is only focused solely upon the object which it believes in. Thus, a hypocritical faith that is now reasoning with itself. It says, perhaps, I come to church and I have been coming for many years and I have not that portion that belongs to all God's people. What do I wrong? Well, then I must do something. I must do what God's people do. What do God's people do? Well, God's people, they believe. Then I must also believe. And then I am waiting that I may hear something about my right to believe. Do I have a warrant? Well, then I may hear that I have a certain warrant, because in that free offer of the gospel, then I also, as a sinner, I have a warrant to believe. And so then I begin to do something which actually I'm not able to do, because I lack faith in its habit. I lack faith in its being, because I lie still in the state of unbelief. True faith does not so. True faith that simply begins to believe, as soon as it may behold the blessed suitability that is lying in Christ for himself. Thus, faith that is doing as that little infant, the moment that it is born, that it is placed upon the breast of his mother, without any reasonings, beginning immediately to feed. That faith that does not reason about its warrant. No, that warrant that is perceived. How many of God's true simple people over all the years of God's church, they have no idea even what that word is or what that concept is. And yet, when the Lord reveals himself to them in his suitability, then they feel that warrant. How do they feel that warrant? Well, because he is declared as a physician, and their own soul does experience their wretchedness in their sickness. And a man who feels and experiences his sickness does not need to have explained to him his warrant to approach unto the physician in this world. Because that physician, he is placed there in an office. And when to that people that experience their sickness, he is revealed to them as that heavenly physician, then they understand that warrant. Then they perceive that warrant. And then that people who feel themselves to be so ungodly, and they are immediately beginning to suck the honey out of the rock, as soon as they may perceive that Christ, he has died for the ungodly, that he has died even for such as they are, and their heart that begins to go out to him with holy longings and holy desires. Why? Because not their head, but that their faith, their heart, that does make application of that righteousness of Christ unto itself. Is that soul assured then? There is one thing it is sure of. And what is that? It is so sure that Christ will do as he promises. It is so sure in that moment of that appropriating of faith that Christ will do according to the offices in which the Father has anointed him as the prophet, as the priest, as the king of his church. That he will do the office of the mediator. Thus, they are so sure in that moment that that physician, that he will heal the sick as they feel themselves, as they experience themselves to be. They are so sure in that moment that as he declares himself in his word to be that great shepherd of his church, that he indeed will do as he was anointed as that great shepherd, and that he will deliver them from their lost state and condition. In that appropriating act of faith, when they may view themselves as he who is condemned before the bar of God, then they are so sure in the revelation of him in that moment that he will stand as the surety in the breach between God and their soul. Is there assurance then in faith? There is. There is assurance in every act of faith, even in the smallest ones of the true children of God. But that is now something different. Then we speak about the assurance of faith, or the assurance of grace and salvation. That is something different. What is that? That is when a person may be able to say that I am saved. That a person may be able to say I am justified. That is different. Why? That is a completely different proposition even. How does this come? This comes in two ways. This comes in the first place by the reflexive acts of faith. How? Paul, he says that they who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And so the people, when they may hear explained, and that is why it is so important that out of the pulpit is explained how faith is acting, and when that people may reflect, and when they may see and feel in their life how that the Lord has given them those moments of the exercise of faith in their life, then they may receive comfort that they are also of faith and that they are blessed with faithful Abraham. And so, step by step, as the Lord is increasing in the steps of grace in the life of that people, they may receive something of that blessed assurance that they are also included in the number of that people. But there is also a second way. And that way we have spoken of last week. That is, when the Lord is leading that people in the further steps of grace, also in their own experience, in that blessed way, so difficult and impossible for their flesh, that they may be brought in the chambers of their imagery before the judgment seat of God, and there to hear that sentence of their judge. But this belongs not to every one of the true people of the Lord. Congregation, did Christ ever become suitable for your soul. In order that you may see something of His preciousness. There are many spiritually dead souls that are in our days, they are urged to accept of Christ. Why? Because you must apply the benefits of Christ to your soul by faith. Therefore, you must exercise that faith, and that is now the only way that you can receive it. And congregation, we hope that none of us will ever be so deceived in our life. Boston said about temporary faith that if an angel came from heaven, you cannot make such a person to doubt. What an awful, awful delusion. Why do we need him? Why do we need him? If we say we need him. There were multitudes. They were around the Lord Jesus Christ when he first began to preach and heal. Multitudes. And then slowly, less, went away. Why? Well, in the beginning they thought earthly kingdom. Deliver from the Romans. Then they found out what? Well, more and more. Then he began to explain, no. And his whole life testified, no. But I have come to save from sin. And therefore, many left. Until he said to his disciples, will you also go away? And what did they say to him? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And now if the Lord, he would ever open to you, to your poor soul, the blessed suitability of the satisfaction of Christ for your debt, for your disobedience. The blessed suitability of his righteousness for your guilt. The blessed suitability of his holiness for your pollution. Of his wisdom for your ignorance. Of his power for your weakness. Of his salvation for your death. When he will open that suitability, do you know what you will say? You will say he is altogether lovely. He is now the chiefest among 10,000. And then you will begin to hunger. You will begin to thirst for him. And this hungering and thirsting after him and his righteousness, that is nothing less than the applying of his satisfaction, his righteousness, and his holiness unto myself by faith. And this people, the Lord Jesus says, they are blessed. Not they shall be blessed. No, they are blessed. That hunger and that thirst after righteousness. Why? Because they shall be filled. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou bless thy own word? It is but a few stammerings. We know not how to lay it forth. But oh, that thou thyself would bring it in our hearts. We need to be made poor. We need to be stripped. We need to be emptied. We need to become a sinner before God. And we need that thou wouldst open. Open thy word, the revelation of thy only begotten Son. O Lord, make us partakers thereof. Grant us true faith in its habit, in its being, planted in our hearts in that new birth. And then we have the ability, when thou wilt give it by times, remember us, bring us safely home. Bless thy word, forgive our sins, and wilt thou bring us with desire in thy house in this afternoon hour, also with the parents that hope to present their children for baptism. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 362. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. And what follows in 362, all the stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Thank you.